Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Oh, here we are, the first shake-up of 2026. I'm Dave Marchese. It's so good to have your company as always. And I need to fill you in if this is your first shake-up experience. If you've never done this before, let me explain a little. This is the time of the week where Hack has a chance to tease out some of the headlines that maybe got you talking. It may not be the biggest news. It may not be the most serious news. It could be the stuff that had your group chats popping off, the conversation starters, maybe something a bit strange you may have missed. So what are we talking about today, you ask? Well, here's a little bit of a taste.
Hack. Pauline Hanson is soaring in the polls.
So can Holly Valance's transphobic remix actually climb the chart?
I think that Brooklyn made the right decision in coming out with this statement.
There was no slut dropping.
I feel like at this tournament, the only private place we have is the locker room.
Oh my God, babe, I didn't think I was into tennis, but this is literally such a vibe.
On Triple J.
Yeah, a bit later we're going to be getting into all this Beckham drama. Somehow still kicking off this week. I want to hear your thoughts. What's your take? Who are you siding with? Are you just sick of hearing about it? Also, another thing that's been kicking off, the Australian Open. Players saying they need more privacy. Too many cameras catching their every move. What do you think of this? Message in 0439 757 555. You can call in as well, 1300 055 36. But before we get into any of that, let's meet our shake-up crew for this week. And a shake-up all-timer, Em Gillespie from The Daily Oz. How you doing?
Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year. First shake-up. How are we feeling?
Oh, excited to be back. Thrilled that I'm still in the Rolodex and I'm still young enough to meet the
Rolodex.
Threshold.
Rolodex. Can you explain what that is?
Who said that? Who was that crazy old lady that said that word?
What are your plans for the weekend, Em? What do you got planned?
Doing a little bit of my favourite thing, sleeping and resting.
Okay, we love that. It has been a huge week news-wise. Like at The Daily Oz, I've been seeing so much content come out. Yeah. A lot of like really sad news this week. It's been pretty heavy. Like it feels like it hasn't been an easy slide into the news cycle this year.
No, there's no rest. The world has gone pretty haywire, but how good that we get to talk about some of the more interesting and lighter stuff this week.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. We'll give it a tiny bit of a go. Also with us on the Shake Up, who I'm meeting for the very first time this absolute second. He's just walked in, creator, funny man, guy of many talents, Lockie Mack, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. No, I was super punctual. I definitely didn't just walk in halfway through your monologue.
No, so, but the thing is people don't know that because you did make it on time and that's the most important thing with radio. You just got to meet the deadline, which you did.
I was like, I'm going to get there. I'm going to be able to sit down. But it turns out these are all standing desks here. So this is very modern.
He's puffed out. He wants a seat. But unfortunately, half an hour of standing, how do we feel about that?
I might end up lying on the table.
What's your summer been like? Like, Lockie, have you been pretty flat out?
Just frolicking through the fields, been pretty flat out. A lot of spending time with the girlfriend, which has been lovely.
Okay.
And then this Sunday coming up is the WWE Royal Rumble, which is a big,
big
calendar event. The girlfriend's extremely excited about that. She can't wait to sit down and watch that for 4 hours with me.
Is it like a busy time summer for creators? Like, I guess some people probably take it off, for others, especially those at the Australian Open. We'll be getting into that in a bit, but like really just like pushing it out.
Well, as you know, being an influencer is the hardest job in Australia.
It absolutely
and the world. But generally, this is when it's the quiet period is the end of December through to January and February where, you know, we all go into hibernation and then we come back out with some great ideas. But it's actually been pretty full on. So feeling good, booked and busy.
Booked and busy, including here on the Shake Up, which we love. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Lockie. First Shake Up. We're excited. And remember, you listening, you're part of this conversation as well. We want to hear your big thoughts, your big opinions on these stories. So get them to us on the text line. Call us. Send us a message on socials, whatever it is. All right, let's get started.
You're listening to Hack.
The satirical song is called Kiss Kiss My Ass
on Triple J.
Kiss Kiss My Ass. It's a catchy title, isn't it? We're just a few weeks into the year, but it's already shaping up to be a really big year for One Nation leader Pauline Hanson. Not only have opinion polls shown that she is soaring to record high popularity across the country, but there's also been a little bit of controversy around Senator Hanson releasing a song and a movie this week. So what do you think of this publicity blitz? Do you think it is going to help win over young Australians?
Hack.
Pauline Hanson is soaring in the polls.
Now ahead of Liberal leader Susan Ley.
And she's embracing some unique campaign strategies.
The satirical song is called Kiss Kiss My Ass, formed by Aussie singer and actress Holly Valance.
And today it's sitting at number one on the iTunes chart.
Oh, the ABC will have an absolute conniption if they have to play this on Triple J.
Pale stale and male, get out of my sight.
So I guess the only question left is, which do you watch first, Pauline's movie or the Melania documentary?
Hi, Mr. President.
On Triple J.
An absolute conniption. Oh, gosh, yes, it's all happening. One Nation leader Pauline Hanson releasing the song, the movie, Melania Trump releasing the movie. Bit of a, lacklustre launch, some are reporting. Ticket sales haven't done so well yet, but it's early days. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this. One Nation's surge in popularity, particularly across Australia, because it is something we've been talking about for a few months on Hack, and this controversial song and movie. Have you seen any of them? What do you think? Message in 0439 757 555. It is the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Em Gillespie from The Daily Oz, creator Lockie Mack as well. Em, it's not just one poll. It's a few different opinion polls now showing this surge in popularity for One Nation in Australia.
I think we have to be maybe a little bit critical about how we interpret this data. Is it about a surge in popularity for One Nation or a push away from the coalition or the artist formerly known as the coalition? I think we've seen the situation within the Liberal National Coalition kind of go from bad to worse since the election. And I think this is maybe the electorate sort of showing Canberra that they've had enough, that they're done with the kind of two-party system, and it should hopefully shake some things up within the Liberal and National parties to step up and keep on doing that soul-searching that they've been doing allegedly in the wake of the historic loss of the last election.
There's definitely been a lot of talk about it. Lockie, I mean, you know, historically people have been like, oh, it's old people that get behind One Nation. Do you think a lot of young people too are starting to get behind this movement?
I mean, I think the same thing. I don't think it's necessarily a rise in popularity for One Nation, but more people losing faith with the Liberal Party, especially with the way that they tried to attack, like, the culture wars in the last election, which didn't really work. I think they were trying to approach it the same way they do in America a little bit. But even with young people, I don't think that's the case. I think there's certainly people on the extreme left or extreme right, but for now, I'd say for most young people, I think they just kind of lean towards more the Greens or Labor at the moment. So I can't see people from my generation at least being big fans of One Nation, though I'm sure they're out there.
Look, and you know, if you're a One Nation voter, you're someone who has switched your allegiances recently, we want to hear from you. 0439 757 555. Last year we did do a story where we talked to some young people who were saying, yes, actually that's where I do feel like my allegiance lies right now. I'm, you know, fully supportive of the messaging there. Em, do you reckon the Liberals and Nationals are going to have to do a really serious think here? Because, you know, they've got to figure a few things out. There's all this speculation about their leader, Susan Ley. Yeah. Is she going to last? Is there going? We heard this afternoon, you know, that at least one leader is out of contention, one possible leader. What do you reckon?
I think that there's so much work to do in their own camps, you know, work that will probably take longer than the current, you know, parliamentary cycle before the next election, before they can even really begin to tackle the broader issue of where voters have defected to and what the threat of One Nation really looks like long term for the Liberal Party. At the moment, there just seems to be so much disarray, so much infighting, these questions over Susan Ley's leadership. Andrew Hastie, as you mentioned, Dave, kind of will he, won't he, now saying he won't challenge her leadership. David Littleproud under question as Nationals leader. It just feels too chaotic for them to really get to a place where they're prepared to think more bigger picture about policy reform and making up a bit of that ground or a lot of that ground that they lost last year.
We're getting a lot of messages through on this. Someone says, this surge is a train wreck. You just can't look away as much as you might want to, someone says. Another person says, I don't think Labor supports the working class. Is there any surprise people are moving towards populism, that person says. Another person says, I think every Joe Blow would love to see Pauline Hanson in power, me included, but she would need great support behind her because she thinks like us everyday Aussies and we need a fair go. Is that person's opinion there? And someone else says, no wonder Pauline Hanson is gaining popularity. The current government does not care about the Australian, the average Australian. So there's a real clear sentiment that seems to be coming through on the text line. Lachie, I mean, Pauline Hanson definitely trying to get the younger vote and appeal with this song, this little collab she's done with Holly Valance, the movie as well, the animated movie. I don't know. I mean, you're an expert at reaching younger audiences. Do you see yourself doing a collab at any stage?
Oh, well, thank you for calling me an expert because I am. Well, I think one of the great things about Pauline is she's emerged as a triple threat, which Albo just can't compete with. I mean, he hasn't released a single song or a TV show, animation or not. And I think the last person we saw in a great deal of power who released, you know, music and then released a movie was Taylor Swift. So I would almost put them in the two in the same stratosphere.
Pauline and Taylor.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, you put them the career side by side and you go, it's pretty much the same person. Potential collab in the future. Probably not
okay.
From me.
Right. All right. Well, there's still time.
Just because of the star power.
Of course. You know. Of course. Of course. And, you know, there's a lot to consider there. I mean, this song that was released.
Oh, my goodness.
There was so many headlines about this. The song going to town on woke lefties, ridicules various groups in society. It's rage baiting, definitely. Is it effective, though?
It's so far towards rage bait that it's become almost funny because it's trying so hard. But I felt like I was watching an episode of South Park. Like,
well, I think that's the style they're going for.
Yeah, but I did laugh, not in the sense that I was laughing at the culture that they were trying to make fun of. I was just laughing at the effort that had been put into something that somebody somewhere said young people will enjoy. It's so cringe. It feels like it could have been wholly generated by AI. Holly Valance is not winning over any hearts and minds and has frankly just destroyed her own legacy, her lasting legacy with the song Kiss Kiss. It's gone now. That was the last bastion standing for Holly Valance.
You don't think Kiss Kiss My Ass is going to really...
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Sit there in the history books for her?
No.
I don't know. I feel like the person who should be speaking out about this right now is Olivia Dean. She should be thanking Pauline Hanson for releasing this after the Triple J Hottest 100 has already happened. Because if this was released a week or two ago, we already know there'd be a different number one.
Well, that is what Pauline's team has been saying, actually.
Exactly.
There's been a lot of discussion about this because the song reached number one on Apple Music's iTunes bestsellers chart. And so they were saying, oh, we'll have Triple J, we'll have to play it. We'll have to play it now.
Because so many young people are buying music on iTunes.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. I mean, it's based on paid downloads only, not streams. Apparently it hasn't quite reached enough streams to make the real charts yet.
Yep.
But we'll see. Who knows? It could. Speaking of other things that have been launched this week, Melania Trump's new documentary, huge amount of money put into this, like tens of millions of dollars, $57 million they invested in this film, which is just so much money. But apparently people aren't going to see it. Lachie, are you surprised by this?
I think people are just busy. I think everyone's clamoring to go see it, to be honest. I'm excited for the spin-offs. They're calling it the Melania Cinematic Universe, the MCU for short. I don't think that's taken. So, I mean, I think a lot of them where they say, oh, there's only been one ticket booked. Well, that's usually someone who's wanting to have the whole cinema to themselves to enjoy what I've heard is got Oscar buzz.
Yeah, okay.
Got Oscar buzz.
Okay, and, you know, we have to be clear that pre-sales are no indication of how the film will ultimately perform. Are you lining up to see this one?
Not at the moment, no.
I mean, the trailer did have me interested, the bit where she takes the call from Donald Trump and he says, did you see, like, my big speech or whatever? And she's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being generous about the pre-sales there, Dave. There was one ticket sold in Australian theatres 2 days before screenings start. And in the UK, it was the same story that the premiere screening in the UK had sold one ticket the day before the screening. The screening afterwards had sold two tickets. I wonder if this is an unexpected moment of Australian and UK audiences coming together to say, we're not like US politics, we're not like America,
okay, you
and
see.
We reject this film. I also think the scope of it is too specific. It's about the 20 days leading up to Trump's second inauguration. I'm actually quite interested in Melania's story and what is going on for her and what she's really thinking and feeling all the time. I probably would watch a doco about her whole life and a more candid take on her relationship and marriage, but it's very, very specific.
You're like, it's too narrow, it's too narrow. Yeah. We've got a lot of messages coming through about One Nation. Someone says, imagine any serious politician releasing a song, let alone with the word ass in the title. They should be a complete joke for the rest of their career. Another person says, I don't know about the rest of young Aussies, but Hanson is definitely not gaining popularity with me. But someone else says, as someone living in regional Queensland, Gen Z and millennial One Nation supporters are out there, particularly the young men. And someone else says, I really don't get the recent swing towards Hanson. I can only assume that people are distracted by what she says and haven't been paying attention to what she actually does. I mean, we're running out of time, but quickly, the Nicki Minaj holding Donald Trump's hands. Did you see that, Lockie?
Yeah. It was a beautiful moment of romance.
It's quite a full-on picture in high definition when you saw it.
Skin cells in 4K.
That's going to be the post-credit scene at the end of Melania. It's going to be the hand holding.
It could be. It could be.
Dave, it's good that Pauline Hanson has a song now that she can play at her rallies, because I don't know if you saw at a Jan 26 anti-immigration rally in Brisbane, they played a Hoodoo Gurus song and the Hoodoo Gurus quickly came out
and said,
do not use our music at your rallies. You do not have permission. We want nothing to do with One Nation supporters and Pauline Hanson. So Aussie musicians are turning away from them. Holly Valance, an Aussie export who is known for her right-wing politics, is, you know, maybe on board, but it's probably slim pickings for them.
Well, look, it's only January. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the year. We'll keep watching those polls, the sentiment of Australian voters, but we've got to move on.
Pack.
I'm surprised that we don't have no cameras while we're taking shower. I mean, that's probably the next step.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it's that time of year, the Australian Open. Tennis fans in heaven, loving it. And then there are those who know nothing about tennis, pretending they know everything about tennis. Australia hosting some of the biggest players in the world. And there's always controversy that kicks off at the Australian Open or around the Open, whether it's the behaviour of fans, people not behaving properly, the influencer domination at the event. This week, everyone's talking about privacy, though.
Ha.
It was supposed to be a private moment. American tennis star Coco Gauff smashing her racket in frustration.
I tried to go somewhere. They wouldn't broadcast it, but obviously they did.
When it comes to the Australian Open, there have been cameras everywhere.
Are we tennis players or are we, like, animals in the zoo?
Stop with these cameras. Like, this is crazy.
Who's who in the zoo at the Australian Open?
Here's everything I did at the AO.
I think everyone's, like, an influencer.
Why influencers there? They don't even like the sport.
Please don't let these influencers for you. The Australian Open is not glamorous.
On Triple J.
Yeah, let's hear your thoughts on this one. American player Coco Gauff caught by a camera smashing her racket after she was beaten in the quarterfinals by Elena Svitolina. She didn't know she was on camera, apologised later, but other players are saying, this is unacceptable. We feel like animals in a zoo. Too many cameras this year. Is that fair enough? Do you think we're trying to turn sporting events into reality TV? Or maybe you think the players just need to get over it. They paid a lot of money. That's part of it. Message in 0439 757 555. Already hearing from you on the text line. Someone says, oh, poor tennis stars. Trading off privacy for literal millions of dollars. If spectators weren't obsessed with sports, you'd get paid pennies. Insight and access into the lives of sports stars is what brings in the money through spectatorship. Someone else says, I feel like tennis players just complain all the time. Okay, some big words there. It's the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with creator Lockie Mack, journalist M. Gillespie. Lockie, you a big tennis fan?
Nah, not really.
So you got big thoughts on this one, obviously.
Yeah, I was also one of the said influencers who was down at the Oz Open.
So you've been down there?
Yes, I was there last Monday, I believe.
Fascinating.
Yes.
I've got so many questions and this is frankly the right forum for it. How was it as an influencer?
Honestly, I was there working with a brand, and so I got there. We were filming stuff around their dedicated area, the Brookvale Union setup. And so I didn't really see much tennis. It was just me going there, doing the content that they'd asked for and then heading off. So I was only there for a few hours, so I didn't even see the tennis.
And okay.
I think part of that is I think a lot of influencers are taking the seat of someone else who could be sitting there. That might be the case, but a lot of us are going down there for a bit of work and then going home.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they're not hanging around and doing stuff. Well, not everyone.
I would have loved to hang around longer, but yeah, it was a FIFO day.
Which okay.
On the I'm sure they love me saying that I was a FIFO worker for a day.
On the influencer stuff, though, do you think that influencers are copying a bit too much heat? Do you think, what do you think of all this commentary where people are like, they're ruining like big events now? It's turning into the F1, into like a Grand Prix thing where everyone's just worried about fashion and this and that, and there's not enough room for real sports fans. What do you reckon?
I think there's a lot of influencers that, you know, they don't do themselves any favours by making it basically just like a runway for themselves. But, you know, if a brand is willing to bring them along and they're enjoying the event, then they're like every other punter, they're having a good time. But again, I completely understand and can empathise with people who are saying, well, we're bringing someone who's going to be looking at their phone taking photos the whole time rather than taking this in and they're sitting in a seat where an actual fan could have been sitting as well. Yeah. So I see both sides.
Okay, you're a bit measured, very diplomatic. We love that, Lockie. Yep. We love that. What about all of this privacy stuff? You're a big tennis fan, right?
I like a high-profile Grand Slam moment. I'm not like
luck if you're an amateur.
I'm not a regular tennis fan. Fully on the record, I'm not like massively into the game.
In my head, you were. I don't know where that came from, but I was like, you're a massive tennis fan.
It's really nice of you to say, and I didn't want to let you down. But I do like the Australian Open. Okay. I don't really keep up with other massive Grand Slams, maybe Wimbledon. But I like the Australian Open. It's exciting for all of that to be in our own backyard.
Yeah.
I am really against this hate that's pouring out from everyone towards influencers being there.
Okay.
Those influencers are filming and taking photos and sharing content that is ideally going to elevate the profile of the game and get more eyes on it, more support for it. When more people are interested, more money is invested, it secures the future of the sport, it leads to more opportunities for athletes being better paid, which is a big conversation happening in elite tennis at the moment. I'm just confused about this take. It's not damaging the sport, in my mind. When you think of other Grand Slams like Wimbledon, they are really the who's who of society, front row at Fashion Week equivalent.
Yeah.
Important people go to Wimbledon to be seen. I don't understand why the Australian Open shouldn't have that same level of hype and excitement.
Interesting. All right. Well, there's a bit of support here for what we're getting out of the creators there, and there are a bunch of people there. I want to get onto the privacy thing now, which has really blown up. Players saying we need more privacy. There's cameras everywhere. It's increased this year. We feel like animals in a zoo. Of course, it all blew up with Coco Gauff caught on camera smashing her tennis racket. Lockie, can you sympathise with players here? Because there are a lot of people on the text line now who are saying, oh, they just need to get over it.
Yeah, I feel like there's more people are wanting access to these athletes more than ever. Like, you had the shows like Drive to Survive, but we want to see every backstage moment. I think you've already got the games on TV. Yeah, they're doing the interviews after. They're doing the press conferences. They have a big social media presence. I think if we can spare a camera in the back, out the back near the stairs, so you can't see them crying or throwing a racket, I think we can afford to lose that camera. I think we get enough access as is. But I think no matter what, people are going to want more access. They want to know more about this person.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like everyone wants to see every minute, and the behind-the-scenes stuff people are obsessed with at the moment. Let's hear from some of the hack audience. This is what Bay thinks.
Behaviour like smashing things is akin to someone getting angry in their home and putting a hole in their wall. It's just not acceptable. It's not on.
Okay, so Bay saying inappropriate behaviour. Alyssa has a bit of a different view.
She is a woman of colour. They are held to higher standards. I think that it's an unfair spotlight that's been placed on her.
Okay, that's Alyssa's thoughts there. This is what Katie thinks.
We all know that there's going to be press, so she probably should have been more careful, but there was no unsportsmanlike behaviour on the court, and I don't think that she should incur any sort of like fines or penalties here.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few different issues. There was also another player, Eva Świątek, who was caught. She lost her pass and was like running around behind the scenes trying to find it, and that became a viral moment on TikTok. Do you understand, Em, how players could be a bit frustrated here?
Yeah, I think it is an invasion of privacy. If there's not the knowledge that they're being filmed, if there are not signs plastered around to let athletes know where they are being filmed and on camera, that's a consent issue that I think we should have a problem with. Coco Gauff was as professional as she could be in that moment. She made a measured decision not to let her frustration show in front of the fans, in front of young viewers. She took it, you know, off the court to the locker room where she thought it was private, and she was doing her best to regulate herself in that moment. We have to remember these are really high-stakes situations for these athletes. This is their job, their career, their entire body and soul goes into this sport. Mm. And losing a game, it's not just losing a game if we go down to the court and play and get annoyed. It's their job. And losing the game has implications and consequences for the future of their careers.
Yeah.
Obviously, ideally, people don't feel pushed to the point of being violent in any way. But this, I think, was an expression of all of that pressure, and it's got to come out somewhere, and I think it came out in the best place that it could have.
We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone says, keep the cameras on the court. Another person says, maybe we just need to give them a rage room where they can just let everything out, not on camera. And then someone else just says, get over it, suck it up, it's the real world.
Hack, why is it more plausible for all of you to think that a woman is brainwashing a man than it is for there to be rifts and tears in a very famous family?
On Triple J.
Oh, the saga that keeps on giving, the Beckham family breakdown. I don't know what you make of this. Every day there's someone else weighing in. How much bigger could this get?
Hack. The feud between the Beckhams and their son, Brooklyn, has gone nuclear.
After his bombshell statement.
I do not want to reconcile with my family. I'm not being controlled. I'm standing up for myself.
Brooklyn is just a kid and kids make mistakes.
We are finding more about that dance. Yes, that one, the one that broke down the Beckhams' relationship.
But you was actually there. Yeah. I mean, was she dotty whining on the dance floor? What was she doing?
There was no slut dropping.
Like, why are we shaming the behaviour of a man siding with his wife? It's actually a green flag.
On Triple J. Yeah, it's the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm getting into the news of the week with Em Gillespie from the Daily Oz, creator Lockie Mack. We're talking about the Beckham saga, which has just been delivering day after day. Lockie, you keeping across this one?
Yeah, I've really tried to care, but it's one of those ones where it really ran away from me. Like after 2 days, there was so many different reports that I couldn't keep up, so I gave up.
A lot of people were saying this. They're like, okay, can someone bring me up to speed? What's happened here? Who's released a statement? So did you eventually try and get the full
rundown? I tried to sift through all the mud to find out what was going on. And the statement is crazy. I think it's great that he's like standing up for his wife. And obviously, you know, putting boundaries with family can be really difficult, especially when it's this high profile. But then all the posts that have come out of the Beckhams family feel very intentional as well. So it just feels very, very strange.
I think people are always suspicious of, like, particularly families, individuals who are really big on promotion and have, like, in the past, sold the rights to weddings, christenings, all kinds of family events. And have you been, surely, the Daily Oz's pop culture unit's been right across this?
Oh, Dave Marchese, this story's been my whole personality for many, many months now. Jaw was on the floor when Brooklyn Beckham finally broke his silence. I am honestly glad for him, happy that he's put his version out there, because the tide had certainly turned against him long ago. I think something for Australian audiences to consider is that the UK tabloid world, tabloid media over there, is such a different game to what we have here in Australia. And the criticism that he has been copying via those tabloids has been really, really brutal. And now he suggests or alleges that that criticism has many times been planted by his own family. It's a very Harry Meghan kind of narrative that we're seeing. The British press is still very much siding with Posh and David, Victoria and David Beckham. But they've spent many, many years really curating this image of a normal family. We're just like you, except we're perfect. But now it turns out they really are just like us.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own family beefs.
I mean, maybe the real winner still is Brand Beckham, because, you know, streams of Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham's, like, tracks have risen 19,000%.
Wow. Release the tapes of
first
the dance.
Solo UK number one. Yeah, a lot of people are saying, where's the dance? Surely someone filmed that. I mean, I don't know, Lockie, we had the DJ at the wedding, Fat Tony, offering his opinion on British TV. I was captivated by what Fat Tony had to say.
What did Fat Tony say?
He was like, I saw everything.
Okay.
He said, I saw everything. And frankly, maybe the behaviour by Victoria Beckham was a bit inappropriate.
Yeah, but who hasn't embarrassed themselves at a family wedding, to be fair?
True.
It'd be a weirder story if there was a high-profile celebrity wedding and they were like, yeah, everything was normal and no one was weird.
I know. A room full of huge egos, strange people altogether. you're saying we can expect that kind of behaviour.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that this doesn't affect David's future, you know, endeavours with Emirates, because nothing makes me feel safer than when I get on an airline and David Beckham goes, in the unlikely event of emergency.
I don't know.
So I'm just hoping it doesn't affect his, you know, his safety videos every time I get on a plane now.
I don't actually think it's Emirates. I think it's another airline, to be honest. But yeah, look, he's definitely, they love a deal. They love a brand deal they'll continue to make them. We've got some messages coming through. Someone says, we'll never know what happened between the Beckhams. But as someone who has cut off their family, no one does it for no reason. And then someone else just says, it's first world problems. I'm over it. Nice. Okay, what a way to end the show. First world problems. That's all for the Shake Up this week. Thank you so much to our guests. Big thank you to Em Gillespie from The Daily Oz. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you.
And creator, influencer, model, wrestler. What other title would you prefer, Lockie?
On time, always.
On time. Yep. Punctual Lockie Mack. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Hack on Triple Jack.